Hello, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We have a wonderful guest, a wonderful program. We're going to get to both in just a moment. First, I have to ask you, our listeners, to consider contacting us, letting us know some your thoughts for the week, and perhaps we can look up topics that you might be interested in, or gather some other areas of interest that you would like us to explore. We'd love to do it, but we have to hear from you. So I'm going to give you two ways to reach us. First, to put a stamp on a letter and send us your comments in the mail, and that would be addressed to Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. Now, the zip code in Greenwich is 06836. That's 06836. If you're on the computer and would rather email us, that's easily done. Just send your comments to clemons10@aol.com. That's C-L-E-M-O-N-S, the number 10, at AOL.com. And if you are in the computer, please go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. And you could find that at spirituality.org. That's spirituality.org. And besides some articles and features, you can find our radio program there too. So now it is time to joyfully welcome my co-host, Dorothy Riera. Dorothy, welcome.
Thank you, Father. Excited to be here with our wonderful guest.
Well, speaking of our wonderful guest, it is now time to welcome Dr. Michelle Loris. Welcome.
Well, thank you for inviting me here. I'm delighted to be here with both of you.
Now, we're going to be entering in some particular topics. Dr. Loris is a PhD as well as a doctor of psychology. She's the Associate Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, Chair of the Department of Catholic Studies, Professor of English and Psychology here at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Connecticut. Well, again, welcome, and we'd like to take a look at a troubling, a concerning, yet a very important topic, and that happens to do with disaffection and alienation of youth toward the church. There was a book written called Going, Going, Gone, and maybe we can introduce theme, that topic, that study. The purpose of this study, what was this all about?
So the study was done by St. Mary's Press of Minnesota in collaboration with the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate. And they conducted the study because they wanted to understand why young people, and when we're talking about young people, we're talking about ages like 15 to 25 in particular, are leaving the Catholic Church. To put this in a larger context, you're probably familiar with the Pew Research study that was done in 2015. It was called America's Changing Religious Landscape, where they found that an increasing number of Americans in general, especially the millennials, that age group of 15 to say 34, they're identified as the nones, N-O-N-E-S. That is, they are not affiliated with any religion, and there are an increasing number that are not believers at all. So within that context, Going, Going, Gone was conducted to look at why the largest number of young people who are not affiliated with the church are Catholics. And so they wanted to find out. And they conducted what is called a qualitative study, which means that while it's a big survey and there are a lot of questions, but what they're interested in were the stories that these young people had to tell us about why they left or are leaving the church. And they were trying to get at the underlying dynamics of this disaffiliation. Who are these kids? The majority of them are white middle class kids, and why are they leaving? So the study began with screening about 3,400 of these young people from ages 15 to 25, and they narrowed it down to actually interviewing and getting then the qualitative stories from, you know, a couple hundred of these young people.
When the kind of method of research, is there something particularly unique about this? Or?
Well, it's called qualitative, and that is that while they can give you certain data percentages, et cetera, what they were more interested in, as I said, were the stories. Like, what are these young people saying about why they leave?
Were their stories similar?
Well, they were. That's what the little book sort of does. They take a representative number from the sample who, and when I say representative, is that the stories of these young people sort of typify what most of the what most of the survey shows us about why these kids are leaving. And I mean, some of the results of that research, you know, that the process of leaving begins pretty young. Some kids said they were 13. Some said they were 10 years old when they started, and it unfolds over a long period of time. It's not just a sudden decision, that there is an accumulation of experiences, observations that they have. And for some of them, these young people said that leaving the church left them feeling very relieved and free, liberated. You know, I can give you a few more of the results. That about 35% of the group that St. Mary's had, you know, studied said they weren't seeking any other further religious affiliation. So those are very typically the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S's. They might believe in a god or a higher power, but they don't want to be affiliated with any institutional church. About 14%, I would say, we put in that category more of kind of no belief at all in a god. They're more secular. They're seeking sort of a more humanistic, reasoned, scientific, secular view of the world. And they feel that, you know, they can be ethical without having to be religious. And so there's that group. And then probably another 46% or so who saw another religious affiliation. Of that 46, maybe 9% saw a Protestant, you know, joined another Protestant affiliation. But others, just something else that would fit them, maybe Buddhism, for example. And the study suggests that the secularization of our culture plays a role in impacting religious belief. It definitely seems to have some kind of an impact, because these young people have more of a focus on a kind of a materialistic, humanistic view of the world, that there is, I guess, there's absent that sense of mystery, awe, transcendence. That somehow that's not part and parcel.
Professor, you said that they started thinking about this when they were around 10 years, 15.
Some of them. Yeah.
Did it make any difference if they were in a Catholic school system or not? Did the survey
They did. So it's interesting, because they first of all, they said that family dynamics definitely plays a role. So if they, you know, sometimes the family might, the parents might not be practicing their religion very much, or they see hypocrisy in the way people say they are Catholic and then the way they actually live their lives, that kind of thing, and that seems to have affected them. More of this group of young people who had left had not been confirmed. They had had First Holy Communion, but they had not made their confirmation. More of these young people who had left reported not attending Mass on a regular basis. More of these young people who left reported as not having been involved in any kind of youth ministry program. And then some of them who reported that they were involved in a youth ministry program, but it was not compelling. It did not respond to the concerns, the questions that they had. And many more reported that they were not did not attend, you know, a Catholic school. But on the other hand, some said they attended Catholic school, but there again, were not given answers to the kinds of questions that they had about faith, or did not see faith as relating to their lives in any meaningful way.
And that brings the question about parenting, the role of the parents, because as we know today, the role of the parents is so important in Catholic education, because unfortunately we do not have the Catholic school system that we had years ago that made such an impact on a generation of students.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, certainly family dynamics plays a role in it. There's no question about it. But by the time kids get to be teenagers, their peer groups also have an influence.
Mm-hmm. Big influence.
And, you know, clearly this study is looking at the kids who have left the church. They're not looking at the group of and they acknowledge that in the study, in the preface, they acknowledge, you know, there's certain things we didn't look at. We looked at we talked to and interviewed and did the study based on the kids who left, not the ones who are still a vibrant part of the church. But the number of young people who are leaving is of concern to us. And certainly it's something that the church and Catholic education needs to think about and pay attention to. I think one of the things the study says is that, you know, they couldn't say that there was just one reason why. You know, here it is. That's the one reason. But for many, the practice of faith is just not significant. It's not part of what creates a meaningful or purposeful life for these kids. And I would say that, like, if you looked at sort of the list of reasons as they put them in order of 1, 2, 3, and 4, I mean, the first one is that they just don't believe in God. There isn't necessarily, or they might believe in a higher power, but there's certainly no one idea of God. And you can read the kids' comments, the students' comments. You know, why is this only, you know, the God represented by Catholicism? Why is that the God? You know, there are other versions of God, or maybe there's a higher power, or that you know, again, as I said, that there is more a belief in just a kind of a secular, material, immanent world, not a transcendent world. And that would have been really, like, probably the top reason. Coming down that ladder, then you would find that some of the other reasons do have to believe that have to do with the fact that there's certain teachings of the Catholic Church that they just can't reconcile for themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and they want answers to those questions, and they're not given good answers. So,
is it because papal authority? That's what I'm wondering. What they are? Is it papal authority?
Well, it might be papal authority. It might be a virgin birth. It might be the incarnation. It might be some of the fundamental claims of Catholicism, which they can't wrap their head around. And then sometimes it has to do with issues of that they will say there's a certain kind of hypocrisy. You know, the church says one thing, but for example, the gospel says love all people, right? You know, what are the two greatest commandments? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. But then they look at the role of women in the church. Then they look at the church's perhaps view of gay marriage. So some of the more political things, abortion, birth control, those things which, you know, are part of their lives, they say things like they don't feel welcome by the church. Some of them don't feel welcome, or they feel judged by the church.
But they can say it, they have these feelings, but then can they be addressed? I love the quote of Aquinas, for he who has faith, everything nothing suffices. For he who has no faith, nothing suffices.
That's about to get to wonder. First off, what are their relationships to other organizations in life? Do they feel committed to a company, a place where they work? Do they feel any kind of loyalty to even family or other
That's
things?
That's a good question, and I don't think the study I think that they were just looking at, you know, primarily who are these young people, and, you know, what are they saying about why they are leaving the church. So they didn't look at, you know, what their relationship was to, for example, a university or a high school that they attended, or whether they belonged to a club or an organization, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the large number of them are, more than half of the people studied in this group are not Hispanic. You know, small percentage are Hispanic, small percentage are Black. So it's mostly that white middle class kid generally.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you look at the more the Hispanic population, I think they tend to be more devout than regular because of their family ties and the culture. I think the Hispanic culture is so imbued in their religion that it accompanies it, the children, and the parents are so strong in their beliefs.
And I also wonder about their notions of what is life all about? What is it that is supposed to be their, give them satisfaction or give them their reason to live? And I don't know if the study even really went into that very much, but I always have that, and I see it so often, a general lack of giving I use the word respect, but I also use the word value to anybody else's opinions on anything. And I begin, if we created such a social society that stresses so much of a, you know, what I call a hyper-individualism, where be strong, be bold, be go for yourself, and be so totally indifferent to everybody else.
Well, you mean if they're self-centered, and I'm not you know, I don't think the study looked at that. Mm. You know, and some of these these young people reported that, you know, they felt that it was important to live a moral and ethical life, but that they didn't feel that religion necessarily had to be part of it. So, for example, to say things like this. Let me just as I learn more about the world around me and I understand things that I once did not, I find that the thought of an all-powerful being is less relevant and less believable. Another one says, at some point I realized that the things Catholics and Christians in general believe just don't add up. It became clear to me that the only reason I had believed these things was because they had been drilled into my head from when I was very young and impressionable. There really isn't any evidence for the kind of God Christians believe in, and if there is one, it doesn't appear to be one that intervenes to help us. So we ought to live as if no help is coming from elsewhere but ourselves. Another one says, you know, to believe in God is foolish in my opinion, and to blindly listen to the Bible, you know, as absolute truth is equally foolish. And then there'll be others who will, you know, certainly disagree with the Catholic Church's stance on pretty much of everything. So women, gay rights, divorce, rape issues, abortion, etc. So those are some of the, you know, I mean, those are some of the things that these kids are saying themselves. The study, you know, divides these responses into three groups. The first group they call the injured, and these are people whose reports would put them in a category that where they've had negative experiences, let's say, or what they consider to be negative experiences. So some of it might be that they believe in God, but then their mother died of cancer and they can't reconcile. Mm-hmm. They can't reconcile, you know, human evil with, you know, if there's a God, and that's
why
you
doesn't
know,
he make heaven on earth?
Right. You know, why is there evil in the world? And obviously, you know, St. Augustine asked that question. Okay, if there's a God, so, you know, why do we have evil? And where does evil come from? And he struggled. Augustine struggled a really long time trying to figure that one out. And hypocrisy was a big thing that kept coming up. Either the hypocrisy that they saw in the church, or the church's stance, for example, the church's, you know, what it did with that whole sexual abuse crisis, right? Or they might see what they call hypocrisy of the people who say, you know, I'm a really good Catholic, etc., and then, I don't know, they do something that's so contrary to the principles of the gospel, and they say, well, yeah, there's a hypocrite. You know, what is that? And some of them, you know, in this group called the injured, felt judged by the church that, you know, the church just puts a big guilt trip on us. A second group are called the drifters, or at least the study called them the drifters. And here they felt like faith didn't matter and that there wasn't really any connection to a faith community. And I'm trying to think. Contributing factor, I'm just reading from the book, in drifting away from faith is the lack of companions on this spiritual journey. Some young people felt abandoned or left on their own to navigate their faith. Without peer or adult support, this journey became tiresome or even lonely. And so for some, you know, to speak to your point, the influence of peers or family or someone who's like a mentor or some adult there to kind of help them. And so these kids,
they're lost along the way. They're drifting, yeah. But I think it all has to do also with the breaking up of society as we knew it in years past. These kids need a role model, and they're all left alone to handle very difficult situations.
Something about the trend of how successful, wildly successful, movies about superheroes, you know, or those types of mythical creatures who stand for goodness against the evils around them. But, you know, I tend to feel,
I mean,
great.
That's a good point, Father. I think that these kids, I don't think that young people are not interested in finding a hero or something to believe in or to have something that does provide them with some kind of compass. But I don't think they're finding it in this group. Now, not the group that is actively involved in the Catholic Church, but I'm talking about this group that is leaving or has left the church. They're not finding the answers in the church. Now, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm hearing a lot that say they probably had only one foot or a lot of misunderstanding or... and I feel very sympathetic because we have to do a much, much better job at trying to reach out to those who are having those problems. As I mentioned, tremendous. I feel so sympathetic toward the drifters. I feel more of a challenge with the others, that some who simply want the church to rubber stamp what they want to do. I mean, I'm sure there's a goodly number of those. But I wonder what their idea of, there seems to be a lack of an idea of what God is supposed to do in a sinful world and a world that needed redemption.
But I think you're right. I think that is where they, you know, they will say that they didn't get answers to their questions. You know, they got little fairy tale answers. And kids ask important, compelling questions. So I know, for example, in our courses at the university where we teach the Catholic intellectual tradition, they do ask questions. So what, you know, why is there evil? How do you reconcile evil with the fact that there is a God who is presumably a God of love and goodness and truth? You know, how can you show me that maybe there is universal morality, or that morality isn't just relativistic? Because they, our kids live in a relativistic world. They absolutely do. It's a culture of relativism. And so they ask these compelling questions, and we have to try to find the readings and the material that will respond to those questions, because they're important questions. They should ask those questions, and we should have some kind of intellectual, intelligent response to that. But these kids in this study are saying they didn't get the answers to the questions. They, to your point, Father, I think that they do seek some kind of meaning or purpose or connection in their lives, but they don't see how Catholicism or the institution of the church is responding to give them that. So it's not that they might not want it, especially maybe the drifters or the injured, right? Those who are injured are the ones who, you know, they've had something negative happen to them, and so they, you know, I guess mainly more they're hurt. So the third group, even, I think these are the dissenters, right? And they're more intentional in their disaffiliation, mm-hmm. and they exhibit a more active resistance or rejection mm-hmm. of the church, particularly around those issues that we mentioned before, say same-sex marriage or abortion or birth control, and they want some better response to that. And now I think if you Father James Martin, who's Jesuit,
yep.
you know, has just written a book called Building Bridges, and it's about the churches, the way that the church and the gay population, gay, lesbian, LGBT population can communicate with each other more respectfully. And you know, and I know, I just had my students in the CIT seminars read a portion of the book. You know, in the introduction, he writes about, well, what underlies prejudice? And that's always good for them to be reminded, what is underneath mm-hmm. prejudice? Why, mm-hmm. you know, why do we do that? And what's the psychological dynamic of that? But then he talks about, you know, the importance of the church's need to be respectful of the LGBT community. And he talks about how his study is not contrary at all to the Gospels, right? And the kids, like, sit back and go, well, okay, now, thank you. I'm glad we read this, because now I have an answer to people who say to me, well, if you're Catholic, you know, how come you can be supportive of the LGBT community? And Father Martin, without defying any church rule about gay and lesbian people, right, he does not defy that. He's merely saying you can be respectful, you can be sensitive, you can communicate with, and you know, if all people are created by God and Jesus loves all people, you know, these are people, and this mm-hmm. is, you know, so he's basing it on something that the kids can relate to, mm-hmm. and they felt really comforted, I would mm-hmm. say, and responsive to what Father Martin had written in this book. And they were glad. They thanked me for letting them read that and for saying, well, this finally answers some of the questions.
Yeah. But I think the Pope also has embraced the gays and
well, one of his good friends is a gay man, I think.
So, you know, there's I think sometimes people are getting the wrong answers in the wrong place.
Well, you know, you're right. It's so easy to become hostile and you know, like I'm sitting there saying, you know, talk about hypocrisy. What are these kids going to do when they see hypocrisy everywhere in their life? I think they're just going to, you know, commit suicide, and that's the end of it. You know, but I think that the desire to reach out and to try to find a different language to speak to kids is going to be so important. Well, this program's over, unfortunately, but we'll be speaking more. Well, God bless all of you who have joined us today. We thank Dr. Loris for being with us, and everyone have a great week.